you mentioned all the data and everything. It's funneling into this assortment rationalization tool. What's really the intended purpose, I guess, of all these numbers coming together?
So really when they see their lineup, if they can make a few decisions that say, I didn't know about this model, or I wasn't aware of this manufacturer, just haven't carried them in the past, but we can very quickly and easily lay that out and they can make decisions based on that. Ultimately, the end game is to make our members more profitable.
Let's talk about art for a minute. And the art that we're referring to is not, you know, what you might find in a museum, although maybe, you know, the way I think about data and how data is used, data visualizations are so visual that maybe sometimes they ought to end up in a museum on display for all to see because they do look so good. But this art is a little bit different. And that right there was Mike Collier, newly hired, you know, just a couple weeks fresher than I am here at Nationwide as our Senior Director of Retail Merchandising. Mr. Collier was brought in and has quickly helped to build something that has become known as the Assortment Rationalization Tool. Obviously a mouthful, but a tool that means a lot, and the three letters combined give us art. And the way Mike describes it, you know, we had a great conversation around this new art tool. It's all about the data. You know, the Nationwide members have been providing data to Nationwide, you know, about all sorts of different things. We've got our, you know, retail sales analytics outfit that looks at everything from POS data to, you know, numbers that vendors provide and all sorts of great things that come together. And, you know, when they're all spread out, they don't really maybe mean a lot, or it's hard to comprehend sort of what's able to be brought out of those numbers. But that's where art comes in, and it's a really phenomenal tool that, you know, just launched here at Nationwide, and one that we're, you know, very excited about. So I spent some time with Mike talking about the possibilities, you know, what it's going to do for members, how it works, and all that sort of stuff, and kind of explained simply, you know, assortment rationalization tool is, you know, something that helps members rationalize their assortment, just to turn the words around. You know, you can look at what you're offering in store, sort of how it compares to, you know, what others in the membership and market are offering, how they're performing, all that sort of thing, to really help make your show floor efficient and see if you're, you know, capitalizing on opportunities across price points, brands, and all that sort of thing. Right now, a tool that is available for appliance dealers, you know, it covers the appliance category, but, you know, we talk about, you know, the future of the tool and where it could go from here, and just a lot of great stuff. I feel like I'm stealing his thunder, so I want to stop doing that and really dive into it, because it's Mike Collier's words that, you know, I think are going to, you know, stick here and mean a lot. And, you know, you'll learn a lot from in this episode. So some really good stuff, and we'll just dive right into it. So here we are with Mike Collier, our Senior Director of Retail Merchandising, talking about art. All right, we are back on the Independent Thinking Podcast, and right now, turning it internal, talking to some of the Nationwide team here. I got Mr. Mike Collier, our Senior Director of Retail Merchandising. Did I get that right, Mike?
You got it. That works for me.
Awesome. Sounds like a good title. We don't need to change anything on air.
That's right.
But, you know, once it's recorded on a podcast, that's what it is.
Exactly. I'm good with that.
If you want to change the title, now's
the time. Let me ponder on that during the podcast.
See if we can come up with something new by the end of it.
Exactly.
No, that's awesome. Mike, I appreciate you taking the time to join. And correct me if I'm wrong, we're just only like a few weeks apart, I think, in terms of when we started with Nationwide. So I was in October, and I think you started in December?
I was in January. Yep, early January. Yep, just after the first of the year this year.
Awesome. Well, hey, welcome to the team from another newbie.
And well, thank you. Same to you, my friend.
Thank you. So tell us a little bit about your time prior to joining the Nationwide family.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been in the kitchen appliance industry for somewhere around 20 years. Started and did a little bit of retail, And then worked for Maytag Appliances out of school from about 99 to 2006. And then Electrolux Appliances for about 11 years. And then in 2017 was recruited out of the industry to venture into the world of commercial office furniture. Did that for about 2.5 years, and then just really decided I missed the contacts, missed the members, missed the kitchen appliance industry. As you know, some people could be listening and thinking that it's a crazy notion, but I did. So after 2.5 years, searched around to figure out what's next, and I'm extremely pleased and happy to be with Nationwide Marketing Group now for almost 6 months.
That's awesome. Well, what is it that explain it to the that craziness to us about what it is about the appliance space that what made you want to come back to it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's just I love the action. I love the retail game, if you will. I'm putting that in air quotes. that is merchandising and the daily action. It's there are sales happening every day. There are 75,000 plus appliances breaking down every day. So the need is there. It's an important item. It's in the center of the household. I've just always, been fun about that space. So I think the industry is fun. I think it's still an industry that, everybody works hard, but you're allowed to have a little bit of fun and play hard in addition to that. So it's just a much different cycle being retail versus that side venture that I went to for a while, more of a B2B contractual, large sale, lots of hunting with more infrequent catches, per se, than what goes on in the retail industry. So I just really miss the retail side of it. And I think this is, of all the businesses out there, and I think this recent scary pandemic has shown that, right? Appliance sales have remained pretty steady. And that just goes to show that it's a durable good that consumers need and want. And when it breaks down, they go looking for it. So I like that action in the particular industry.
Right. And I mean, you talk about what this pandemic has done. Obviously, there's going to be merchandise. I think everyone's talked about the merchandising challenges at this point on the other side of it for appliances in particular, because factories were shut down and all. But
yes,
at the same time, the wear and tear and usage of people being at home all this time, there's going to be such pent up demand if, sales were happening as they were anyway.
Yep.
So now on the outside of looking ahead, can only imagine what, kind of boost independent dealers could see on the other side of this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a person, that's largely traveled for their career the last 20 years, spending, on average, 2 or 3 nights a week in a hotel, I've eaten more meals at home with my family these past 3 months than I probably have in the past 3 years combined or more. So, I mean, that's a nice benefit. But you're right, that's wear and tear on our appliances. They're working overtime, as is my grocery bill. they have finite lifespans, right? So the more you use them, the slightly shorter that becomes. And I think we've seen that in the industry. And you're right. Right now, demand is exceeding supply. But we all look forward to that getting back in check at some point soon.
Yeah, and wear and tear on family life, let me tell you. Are they ready to see you go back on the road?
At times. Yeah. Yes, at times, I think so, perhaps. They're not used to this other voice in the house telling 3 kids what to do and when to get off video games and when to pay attention and listen to their mother. It's new to them as well. So we're actually, it's wouldn't trade in the time for anything in the world. But, yeah, it's just when you're accustomed to traveling, that just becomes a routine and you figure out how to work around that. So for them, this is new for all of us.
Certainly can appreciate, and I'm with you. So it's something. But I do know at the very least, Nationwide has been keeping you busy all this time at home. We've got a really cool tool to talk about that we'll dive into. Is really the headline for this podcast. But before that, when you came into the Nationwide team and ready to get rolling, what were sort of your expectations for the role, and what do you kind of see yourself being? What do you see the main focus for you being in this role at Nationwide?
Yeah, great question, Rob. I appreciate it. That was really, this tool was really kind of the genesis of what brought me over. It was really about, hey, we've got a lot of awesome data at our disposal. And the data team has done an unbelievable job over the past few years collecting this data. So really the notion was, what can we do with that data to turn it back out, to make it member facing and put it in a usable format where the members can see this data, see this tool, and be able to make really meaningful business decisions from that data. So that's really the name of the game. And, you know, the term big data has been out there, right, for decades. And there are a lot of companies that specialize in that. But it's really about what you do with that data. So the focus for me coming into this role in a merchandising fashion is to figure out what to do with this data, how to get it back into members' hands so that they can quickly, and that's an operative word, quickly make decisions and make decisions that will help their business, their top line revenue, their profitability, et cetera.
That's awesome. And an unplanned segue too, because you mentioned all the data and everything. It's funneling into this assortment rationalization tool, ART.
It's a mouthful, right?
Yeah, right. Assortment rationalization tool, which thankfully is just three letters and they come together nicely to give us ART. Having gotten the run through from you, a very powerful tool and one that, I look forward to diving into here, but the operative term you mentioned is data and big data. So what kind of data feeds into this tool to begin with?
Yeah, great question. So the data that's going into ART, is both the sell-in data. So that's the data that the manufacturers report to us on a cadence when they sell product to a member to say, very specific, here's whom we sold it to, here's the model, here's the item, here's the price, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a really large pool of data if you think about the collective nationwide group and all of that, what we call sell-in data. Then the second part to that is that point of sale, that POS, or we call it with the Nationwide Marketing Group, retail sales analytics, RSA, that's the other side of that. So when you combine what's selling into our members with what those members report out to us from a POS standpoint, so some 70 to 80 members who report in POS, which is a really large chunk of business from retailers of all sizes, small to big. Combining those two sell-in and sell-through data is really the crux of what developed the ART tool.
That's awesome. And I know certainly, that I think that's a large pool of data collectively.
So absolutely.
Working with members and vendors to collect all this. Having more of that POS data, as an example, just to take one side of it, you mentioned 70 to 80 members are participating. Does the tool become better with more participation, or how does that work? Is it, I guess just, I'll leave it at that. How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Obviously, always the more data, the better and more, I don't know that it's ever foolproof, but just the larger that data set gets, the more accurate it is. I would say based on all of those members that have participated and partnered with us in the program to date, the data is absolutely statistically relevant as far as the amount of sell-through data. When you compare that to the amount of sell-in data, it's a really large percentage of that. So the data is really solid, but absolutely, we're always encouraging members to participate in the program. Obviously, it's completely anonymous. Information is only kept with us, and it's never reported out other than a bulk manner with the whole group's retail sales analytics combined together. So you're never seeing one particular member. But yeah, the more data that we have, the more the more solid it is, the more reliable it is, and the better information that we can ascertain from that to share out with all the members.
Gotcha. So all this data is coming together. You're collecting it. It's going through ART, which I'm gladly going to keep saying ART instead of assortment rationalization tool, as I'm sure you've come to learn.
Absolutely.
What's the output? What is kind of the tool look like once you plug all those numbers in, and what's really the intended purpose, I guess, of all these numbers coming together?
Yeah, great question. Really, I would say once a member visually sees the tool, there's really four main parts to it. Number one, they'll see for the six major categories and then 21 subcategories under that. So when I say a major category, Rob, refrigeration is a major category. and then subcategories being French door refrigeration, top mount, side by side, etc. So 21 different subcategories. You'll get a printout, a plan to sell type format, a merchandising tool. And really, again, the four parts of that tool are you'll see for a particular subcategory all of the various price buckets that out-the-door retail sales occur at. So if I use dishwashers as an example, from $0 to $300, that's a certain percentage of the outbound sales, from $3 to $350, $350 to $4, so on and so forth. So part number one is you'll see in every price bucket in $50 to $100 increments, how big is that price bucket? So what percentage of all the units in the industry and what percentage of all the units sold through nationwide members happen in that particular price bucket? So if you see a visual picture of all the landscape and dishwashers, you can say, hey, this particular bucket, whatever it might be, $4 to $450 is pretty large. I maybe don't have a single model on my floor or only one model on my floor. Maybe I should add an additional model to that particular price bucket. So that's point number one. Point number two is it shows in each of the 21 subcategories, the top 50 most productive SKUs for that particular category. So again, dishwashers, the tool show members the top 50 most productive dishwashers, again, using both the sell-in data and that sell-through POS data. And productivity, without going into a ton of detail, there's, really five factors. It's about margin percentage, margin dollars, how many members carry that model on the floor, what are the sales units and dollars of that particular model. And so when you weight each one of those five factors, give it a productivity score, and then force rank the productivity scores 1 through 50. So you can see very quickly, hey, this is the most productive SKU in a particular lineup at, through number 50. Part number three, it'll show the top four most productive SKUs in each one of the price buckets. So if I think about, dishwashers is kind of always an example I use and it's fresh on my mind. If I think about the top 50, maybe none of those top 50 are in an opening price point. But that opening price point is important, right? You want that opening price point to bring people in the door, to advertise. When you compare that to retail shopping that's going on, if they see a particular price point at a big box store, you want them to know you have that price point. Although our nationwide members are extremely successful at stepping off of that, hence a much larger average selling price. And then the fourth part would be simply the members lineup on that last row. So the member can see what they're purchasing the most of and compare how that comparison happens to nationwide's top 50 most productive SKUs. So they can compare average cost, average retail, average selling price, and just in general productivity, us versus the group as a whole, and make decisions based on that information.
Clear that a lot of numbers lead to a lot of possibilities with this. So
yes.
It can almost seem overwhelming to a member. So what, if you start to see that kind of deer in headlights look on a member as you're talking to this, what's sort of the follow up then from you to make them feel like this is a comfortable tool and something that, is worth the time investment in really getting and in, wading into these numbers?
Yeah, this is definitely a scenario of a picture is worth a thousand words. I probably just rattled off, 1,000 words, right? A picture would have done it justice very quickly. But this is a podcast, so everybody's listening. So you can't paint a mental picture. So when you look at the tool, those four parts inherently make sense. You'll be able to see the price buckets, how big they are, what percentage they are, what are the top 50, what are the top four by price bucket, and then how does that members lineup compare? So I think visually, when you look at it and you even see pictures of the models, you can easily spot that this particular price bucket in whatever 21 subcategory is a big percentage of, dishwasher category, and they'd see a picture that I only have one or two models in that. So visually you can see maybe that's an opportunity to put a new piece on the floor, or visually they can answer the question, I'm thinking about adding a new manufacturer perhaps to my lineup. I don't carry these brands 1, 2, and 3. How do those brands 1, 2, and 3 look on the overall top 50 most productive SKUs if I'm thinking about that? Or I am going to bring on a new vendor to my assortment. You know, when I look at these various subcategory layouts, which model should I put on my floor? That's a really quick one to see. And a great example, I had one of our MSMs call me last week, knew, had been involved in the development of the tool, knew it was coming along, and said, hey, I've got a member that's bringing on a new line. They'd like to use the tool to be able to see which models they should carry and which they should floor. So, you know, I think speed being an operative component of this, very quickly could go run the reports, send those reports over to say, okay, I'm bringing on this vendor. Here's the best selling SKUs from that vendor in each category for nationwide, so they know which models to put on their floor.
That's awesome. This may be another way of asking exactly the way you just answered, but when members dive into this, you know, maybe this is more like a high level question for the tool itself. And knowing data and knowing how these kinds of reports can spit out, there's a million ways you can slice this and use it. But if there was, you know, one sort of answer as far as how you would hope members use this tool or what they use it for, what would that answer kind of look like for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say we've ran a lot of scenarios and we've seen where, you know, perhaps moves in SKU A to SKU B. And if you think about all of the sales that happen for an appliance retailer and how many of that could be, ultimately the end game is to make our members more profitable. So really when they see their lineup and they see their average cost and their average retails and what they're selling and comparing that, if they can make a few decisions that say, I didn't know about this model, or I wasn't aware of this manufacturer, just haven't carried them in the past, but we can very quickly and easily lay that out in factual information using the ART tool, and they can make decisions based on that. Ultimately, we're endorsing this to help members be more profitable. And I think that's the name of the game. There isn't anybody out there that wouldn't want to increase profitability 1, 2, 3, 5%. And if this tool can offer a share of that, I think that's the name of the game.
Gotcha. And I know, you know, anyone listening knows that we've talked a lot about appliances. This is obviously a tool that, you know, has right now it launched with appliances in mind. Is there opportunity to expand that beyond, or is it maybe even something you're already working on to expand this beyond just the appliance category?
I think there absolutely is. You know, you obviously start somewhere. Appliances seem like a natural start. It's a large share of the business. And again, just everything that we've gone through recently with the pandemic, it's been fairly consistent and performing pretty well. So we did start there. I definitely think there's opportunities to expand this into other categories. You know, there may be different formats of how we look at data and different attributes that we get from data feeds and data out feeds, et cetera. But I definitely think that opportunity exists.
It's awesome. And certainly, I mean, having waded through it myself and, you know, seeing everything that as you kind of presented it to us, strongly powerful. Sound double positive, I guess. Is that so, strongly powerful tool? You know, something I'm excited to see how members use it and sort of what it does to business and, you know, moving forward for them, how they, you know, everything from the in-store lineup to, you know, I'm sure there's online implications for this as well. So,
I'm sorry. Yeah. I was just going to say, yeah, it's a testament to our data team. You know, at Nationwide, we're truly fortunate to have such a, collection of very talented individuals that have been doing this type of thing for quite some time and just now taking a different spin on it to mold it into a merchandising tool. Their support and how quickly they were able to pull this together is really astonishing. We have a gentleman on the team named Polga that had really come to us a while ago and said, hey, I think if we put in these metrics with these certain weightings, we can show members or give them options for substitutes that could, you know, enhance their profitability. And just taking that notion and kind of blowing that out into a full plan to sell with different price buckets and showing the weighting and size of those buckets and pulling it together, they really were able to do that in 6 to 8 weeks, which is astonishing based on the amount of work they had to accomplish to get there. So, yeah, great kudos to Scott McFarland and Andy McFarland and Clement and Tolga and that whole data team for pulling this together. They've done an outstanding job.
if they're listening, they may laugh at this next question because it's probably something that they would rather answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway because you're the guy on the phone. What were the challenges in developing this tool? And this, automatically, you know, you're going to think it's on the technology side of what that was like, which is I can hear them laughing already. But
yes.
You know, from your perspective, what were some of the biggest challenges with, you know, getting this tool up and ready and running and working for you guys?
Yeah, boy, you nailed it on the head. They could probably give you an answer that goes on and on. They are the skilled technical guru experts. I would just say from my perspective, and again, my lens being merchandising, it's a lot of inputs. And so how do you boil that down? And I know, you know, via a podcast to talk through it, again, viewing it and talking about it are two completely different things. But, you know, the challenge is just taking all these inputs and not trying to boil the ocean, but say these are the most important. At some point, you have to draw a line and say, let's show the top 50 most productive. That number made sense. You know, how do you visually put that in front of folks so they can really quickly look at it and make decisions? There's just, again, taking a massive amount of data, being able to boil that down and make it talk to each other and come together cohesively is a challenge with the team. Clement and Andy and Tolga and team were up to the task and did a phenomenal job making it all work. And we're really excited about the end result. And the end result isn't the end result either, which is the cool thing. So I mentioned earlier, we took our entire field team through this week. They'll be going out talking to customers about it. And we're, you know, the team is ready for feedback. You know, what if you tweak this or showed it this way or additions to make to it? So, you know, we've got the commitment that it's really a living document that can always evolve and bring more value to the members, which is, that's all we're all trying to accomplish, right, is value to our members. So they'll continue to update and tweak it with member feedback. So we're ready and welcoming that feedback coming back in.
Yeah, and that's always been, I think, you know, thinking about ways I've worked with data and used data to create reports and stuff like that, that one of the most wonderful things about data is that it is living and breathing and constantly changing, which means it can inform how you use the tool, how you develop a tool like this and kind of it, not future proof it, but it's something that can constantly develop and improve upon itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is cool because we can actually make decisions now with data. And I'll never forget, early on in my career, I had a sales territory, and the merchant there was a tremendous person and had previously ran merchandising for a large box store. And now was kind of back at an independent retailer in his hometown. And he told me early on in his career, he was actually a women's shoe buyer for Nordstrom's or Macy's, or I forget whom it was now at this point. But he always said that taught him, you never really know what the end consumer is going to buy. He said whatever he thought was a good looking shoe wouldn't sell at all. And whatever he thought was an ugly shoe sold off the shelves. So really, you know, appliances aren't maybe quite that finicky, but I think it takes away that gut feeling for merchandising that I'm going to put this on my floor as I like it. I think it's a cool model. I think it's going to sell. This brings data to it. And so you can see in black and white the data of what is selling, at what retail price point it's selling, what does that lend itself for profitability for our members, and how can our members use that to enhance their profit, increase their profitability.
That's awesome. And kind of a cool way, it sort of lends itself to what I was going to close with, and that's kind of what is next for this tool. Obviously, the data is going to dictate, you know, how it's used, how it develops, but, you know, early on, we're barely, I think, a week into it being active and live. But, you know, what are you already looking to, you know, as this tool is now out there in the public and, or well, out there with our members and being used and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, our vision is to get this, you know, from a historical data-driven tool where you can still make decisions today that'll make more profit tomorrow. How do we get this to a front-looking tool? How do we say, okay, you know, as we sit here, Rob, in June, July 4th is coming up, or let's go out even further, Labor Day is coming up. So how do we look ahead to have the member put in dates of Labor Day into the tool to see what will be on PMAP, to see what promotions are out there, and make future decisions for merchandising, for promotions, for sales, for flooring, based on events coming in the future versus looking at, you know, historical data from the past or data today. So I think if we can get there, which we will work towards, that would be a pretty powerful tool as well.
Well, and even spitballing off of that, thinking about it, you start talking about having this tool for years in advance. You know, as we move, you'll have that historical data looking forward that you can then, you know, kind of catch 22 here, but you're looking backwards to look ahead. As members use this, you know, in the future, those then would become past data points, and how things performed based on that can kind of inform those decisions looking ahead as well. So
lots of
opportunities. And, you know, taking up a half hour, I feel like I almost have to, you have to charge me for your time. Because of everything else you got going on with Nationwide and this tool. So
that's perfect. For those listening, I would just encourage them to grab their MSM and say, hey, I'd love to take a look at this. For those that don't share their point of sale data today, we would love to have more data added to that pool. That, again, it just goes into a big pool to say collectively, how are we doing as a group? But, you know, this is a you know, kind of good evidence that we can help each other with building on upon more data and having those inputs. We'll be able to put out future works, but, you know, definitely take a look at it. Again, it's one thing to talk about it, and you see me, I'm a hand talker, and I'm making gestures, and I'm acting like I'm pointing at an actual plan to sell a merchandising tool, which I'm not. So to lay eyes on it, I think it makes sense. And again, we want to provide value to the members. We want to help our members be profitable. We're excited about this. This is, you know, really no one, this tool doesn't exist out there anywhere else. And that's, you know, that goes to all the data that we've collected for years and continue to collect, and the data that we have that we can, that the team can build a tool like this to help our members. So we're excited about it.
It's awesome. And, you know, certainly plenty to be excited about. The opportunities with this thing are endless, and look forward to kind of seeing how it develops, how it gets used, and, you know, where it goes from here. So, Mr. Collier, I appreciate you taking so much time out of your day.
No, my pleasure. Appreciate your time, and look forward to it, and look forward to the member interaction and answering questions for folks, and figuring out how we can make this useful and helpful to all of our members.
Awesome. Thank you.
You got it. Take care, Rob. Thank you.
Awesome. And a huge thanks again to Mike for taking time, chatting with us. Maybe almost gave him a new title there at the beginning, but no, we had some fun talking about this assortment rationalization tool, everything it's going to provide to members, and sort of where he goes from here with it. So something really powerful. You know, I'm someone that likes to get my hands deep into data. So I look forward to kind of messing around with this and seeing what we can learn from it and how we can help our members improve their business. So you know, as always, appreciate you taking the time to listen to the Independent Thinking Podcast, and we will catch you next time.